Table Talk is not your typical D&D TTRPG podcast. We are not here to run you through our whole campaign.
We're here to talk about everything else in the space of Table Talk roleplay.
I'm your host, Alejandra Wilhelm.
And I'm also your host, Mariah Gresham.
And we're your tabletop roleplay girlies.
And we are live back at it with another episode of Table Talk. Thank you so much for joining us yet again. We have another amazing guest episode for you. And I'm going to hand it over and please give a little introduction of yourself and what you do and where people can find you.
Hi, I'm Wayne Denier, and I am co-founder of a gaming company called Adventure Away. And you can find me on Facebook and on LinkedIn and here and there where I'm present on Twitter, mostly just upvoting silly dance.
Valid but, quality, yeah. Quality content.
Valid Twitter activity.
The only valid Twitter activity.
Honestly, yeah.
Amazing. I'm going to go ahead and add you on LinkedIn after this. Don't mind me. But
Heike same, the impulse to not, like we always talk about him, like before we count in what we're going to discuss. And you did say like, oh, I'm on LinkedIn, and the goblin corporate urge that I have to not just take
pull
this
my LinkedIn
train
up right now.
Right. Well, not to just fully redirect it into there because half my brain is still in day job mode, for which I'm like content strategy at a tech company. So, yeah,
it'd
having
like
company
that.
LinkedIn's is a wild and fun topic for me and also for Ollie in particular. Maybe not for anyone else. So we don't have to derail for that.
No.
I understand the duality because I also am in the tech industry. I've been in graphic design and front-end user design and JavaScript programming for about 20 years.
And that's a fun programming spot.
It is, because it's still visual. I find that that's very important to my like dopamine and just making Lego blocks all day. So that's feeding some urges and fun. And then being a dungeon master kind of fills in the rest of it. So,
heck yeah. You know,
we also are on LinkedIn as a company and we're currently hiring. So that's where I've found myself for two reasons on LinkedIn. And you know, sometimes the messages mixed, it crosses the streams a bit.
Incredible. It's not like I'm on the jobs hunt anyway.
yeah, we need to build out our LinkedIn presence. So I may just be like skulking on over.
Check it out.
See what y'all got going on.
Speaking of your business, though, I do want to get into that because I got so excited whenever I saw your little email pop up. Tell us about your business and all the cool stuff that y'all do.
Yeah, we are a gaming company, and every gaming company has their niche at maybe making downloadable software or physical game cartridges or making board games. And we found our space adjacent to Dungeons and Dragons. So we have integrated the gaming with vacation. So, you know, you may have a game that you play on the reg at home once weekly, or you're on Roll20 playing virtually through, you know, the little Brady Bunch letterboxes and everything. And then we've sort of crafted this another choice. Which you're actually seeing more trends today in this space of, well, I'm interested in travel. I like travel, but maybe I don't want to go to a beach resort, or I don't want to be in a major city trying to, you know, find my way around the city blocks and where the best pizza place is, which I 100% endorse going to cities and finding out what their food is like. But our vacation is primarily to do the Lumiere bit from Beauty and the Beast and for you to be our guest. And we have three locations in Maryland that we run games out of that will host 6 to 8 people. So that includes a room for two, usually double occupancy. We have some rooms that are 2 twin beds. So if you have a bestie and you just don't feel like sharing the covers, there's still options for that on some of the weekends. And that room gives you a seat at the table to play D&D. We run about 10 hours of D&D over the course of a weekend from Friday to Sunday. So that's a small chunk of play on Friday night after you get there. then two bigger blocks on Saturday that total up to 10. But we're also making sure you have amenities there. You know, you can go and like take a shower. You have a nice room to go back to when you just need a little social break. We even have a 2-hour break in the middle of the day on Saturday, so you can take a nap or touch grass, just unwind, reflect for a minute, get some more energy. Some of us, you know, like I'm in my 40s, so, you know, I'm going to hit walls. And gamers of all ages appreciate a little bit of a disconnect. And we're also, in our own way, a bit of a disconnect because we still use digital assets. But like you can expect that we'll entertain you for the whole time that you're there. You don't have to do, you know, your own planning to bring along board games and card games. And, you know, we encourage you to, you know, make sure your work email shut off. You know, just come out here and be present and play your character with us. And we take care of everything for you. So once you book with us, you get all of your meals included with your booking. So we've got continental breakfast in the morning. We're catering in from local restaurants for lunch and dinner. We have snack, beverages, non-alcoholic, but it's BYO if you do want to come if you're over 21, being responsible. But it's part of the play as well. And there's nothing wrong with that. But otherwise, we're making sure that this is a one-time bill, and we're not nickel and diming you for the ice cream cone you get here or popping into the Bubba Gump Shrimp Shop over at King's Dominion. And before you know it, you've already got like, yeah, I don't know why that popped into my head, but like,
they'll get you down at the Bubba Gump.
You do always see a Bubba Gump though, whenever you go on vacation.
I mean, I know I'm thinking of a po' boy. Yeah.
I went to one in the mountains of Tennessee. And it is a near transcendent experience when you're in the Smoky Mountains at a Bubba Gump Shrimp Company and you're like, this feels morally wrong, but here we are. And it has the audacity to be like pretty good. Like every other Bubba Gump Shrimp Company I've been to, not that great. The one in the Smoky Mountains, like years ago in my childhood, slapped.
My goodness.
Can't explain that to you.
I mean, there's just, maybe they're a nexus.
Bubba Gump.
It's like there's just like it's the perfect place then. It's like a local mecca or something, but that's amazing. I love it.
Who knows? Don't ask where they got those shrimp from. Who's to say?
I love that element, though, of y'all, like, taking care of everything because, like, me and Mariah, especially when we travel, are huge planning girls.
Planners.
So then we plan and we budget the whole entire event. Mm-hmm. So, like, the vacations that you can truly go and shut your brain off and you're like, I know I've already paid for everything. Yeah. Everything's taken care of. I'm going to get fed. It's great.
The truly all-inclusive experience is very, very nice.
I mean, we had some fantastic trips. Went to Playa del Carmen, New Mexico, or not New Mexico, the Mexico, like actual Mexico, which was
Mexico.
Fantastic. Yeah, the old
Mexico. Mexico.
The
true
OG. Mexico. And man, I mean, just like walking around and not caring and not thinking about the bill, it really is superior.
Oh, yeah. I went to a trip similar in Puerto Vallarta, and it was a yoga retreat that was very much needed at the time. But it was like all expenses paid. So like my food, morning, lunch and dinner, and all the yoga classes were all included. There was like seminars that I could go to, but also my schedule was my own. So if I wanted to be lazy and miss a morning yoga class, I definitely could. And you were just like free to come and go as you please. And that was so nice because I think is like the only vacation I've ever gone to that I truly shut my brain off and just let myself ride.
And you're not kind of thinking of like, okay, where are we going to eat lunch? We're at lunch. Where are we going to eat dinner? Like just me outing myself is very Cajun, the types of people that do that.
Yeah.
And then like, where are we meeting these people for these activities? Like it's fun, but there's a lot of mental load that goes into like planning and organizing a trip a lot of the time, especially with groups where it's like everybody's in different spots or wants to do different things or has different routines or budgets or whatever.
And I'm too much of a mom friend to not be controlling about that shit.
Yeah. I mean, you're basically like play for play
I'm the
recounting
ideal candidate for your
honestly. Yeah, we both are. Yeah.
It's and I think this happened with my original group. I learned on fourth edition, right when it got published, it was a strange happenstance that a friend of mine who is a mentor in graphic design, who's like a peripheral nerd, still a football coach, but he's like, hey, I got these books in my closet. It was from Dungeons and Dragons. Do you guys want to play? Like, me and my best friend, like, yes, we want to play. Like, we had played World of Warcraft and Diablo and Legend of Zelda, and like, fantasy adventure is just sort of built into our DNA as kids in the 80s and 90s, all the way down to He-Man. So,
oh, yeah. Like, we are the correct audience.
Absolutely. And I think, like, there was an interesting intersection because, like, he introduced us to that game and it was a lot of fun, but I decided to go buy the new stuff, what had just come out. And so I was watching a version of Dungeons and Dragons that was desperately seeking a market share from Blizzard and World of Warcraft. And game mechanics and dungeon design and character progression really went hard tack down to the way the mechanics work in that game and where they differ from traditional D&D mechanics, trying to lean into the hot bar. And, you know, you had all these cards, which they still have cards for fifth edition, which I get because they're great gaming aids. But like, I remember at the time, like, yeah, it got a bad rap for getting bogged down, although I find that collectors are looking for them again. So I do have a collection. I don't know if it's for sale, but make me an offer.
You're like, I'll be sitting on a fat stack of collectibles. Okay.
I got the original Adventures in Barovia. What do we got here randomly? Darksun. Yeah. Darksun hasn't been adapted yet. So Boris Vallejo, like Conan stuff.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. And also, I think the events that y'all run specifically, like, do you guys provide like the DM and the experience and you just kind of go and like, okay, the DM's already there and like we play, or it's kind of just like, hey, we bring our game to go play at this vacation?
We have a dungeon master for you. So your DM can take a break if they're quietly sitting behind the screen going, I just want to play a monk and I just want to walk around. I don't want to have to be 19 goblins. Please come out. Let me be the 19 goblins for you. But it's not just me. It was when we started, but we have additional three professional dungeon masters that have joined us and grown with us. And I'm very proud of them all. They have unique styles, each and every one of them. Going down the list, we've got Brian, who is a fan of intrigue, cosmic horror, and mysteries in the like Murder on the Orient Express style.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Tasha is a like balls to the wall, goofy slapstick, like comedy and like spectacle type of dungeon master who creates large and engrossing set pieces that will make you giggle. And I just, it's like every time that I visit when Hasha's running a game, it's a party. I show up. The vibes are great. And then Denzel is our newest dungeon master. He's coming into his own style as well. He will do, I'm waiting. I actually want to just like buy a ticket to one of his games and sit down. He impressed me when we started, but like I'm leaning over to see like where like what's going on here. But like the every one of our team is very, you know, beloved, and it's I like that we're artists and collaborators. There's not a lot of top-down prescription. We do have certain settings which have just marketed well, and we come back to them. So we always have Adventure in Barovia around Valentine's Day, which is like kind of swoony Twilight, you know, Interview with a Vampire type thing. We just put it over.
Give everyone the good food that they deserve. Yes.
Incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also like little chiseled jaw vampire hotties and stuff. It's fun. It's fun.
You gotta do it to them.
Werewolves and bats, and it's a blast. We've started to dip into the Feywild. So we've broken up all of the realms of the Prithmir and had different games in those on different occasions. And we do that over the midsummer solstice, which is really fun. And we've been getting into Avatar: The Last Airbender for the last 3 years. We've had games in Republic City. I'm a huge Bender fan, so it's been a pleasure getting into the system. We became backers of the Kickstarter before it was in print, so I ran the first game we did off of PDFs. Aww. Although we've got the nice hardbacks here, finally.
Nice.
So that's kind of a tour de force. And we have, you know, some of these games are still open to book. So we have the Avatar game in June. There's open seats. We have a game that's fifth edition D&D in July on the 19th. And then the Midsummer Nights Fae game is August 9th. And they're all on our website.
Are all of your games hosted in Maryland, or do you host them in different locations and stuff?
They're all hosted in Maryland. We finished our 5-year plan, and we're on to our 7 or 10 year plan, where we are thinking and planning about scouting and what location would be a good choice. Shout out Raleigh, North Carolina. It's a possibility. If you give us a lot of likes and quests, that might tilt it where we're going to go. But we've even looked up as close as the Great Lakes around Cincinnati or something.
That'd be so cool. So
meet you guys.
Where are you at in Maryland?
We're in Frederick, which is just north of D.C.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
Yep. We're close to the Potomac River. So it's nice to come down here and walk or ride the Appalachians on mountain bikes. That's a real popular pastime down here.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's so funny that you hit us up specifically around the time that you did, because we're in a Discord server with a bunch of previous guests and other creators and stuff. And so we've been tossing around the idea of booking a D&D getaway. And then you DM'd me and I was like, hey, guys, you're never going to fucking believe
it. Sure, it'd be a shame.
Sure, it'd be a shame. But yeah, it was you literally were like, I see my target market and I've got a fucking sniper rifle from across the internet.
Yeah. taking the wind measurement. We're
It's a rising tide out here. You know, being a professional in the gaming space is 70% passion and gumption, and then the rest of it is the love and the art and the idea and what's special about what you can bring. But you gotta get out there and do stuff.
Shoot your shot.
And we've been doing stuff since 2018.
Hell yeah. Nice. I wanted to ask, so you said you DM some of those games as well as some of your team, correct? So what is it like to DM for a rotating cast of strangers every month versus obviously sitting down at a table? And especially when you're doing it as a job, how do you think that kind of affects your play, and what are the big differences that you can tell?
I think the big differences are I've been in a comedy improv troupe a couple of times. One of them was actually Dungeons and Dragons oriented, and coincidentally started the time we started our business. So I had to kind of make a choice of which way I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. But the way that people perform in that space, it can be kind of like your neighborhood game, where everything's thrown out each week. The points don't matter. The rules are made up, and you have a good time and then you go home. You know, for a home game, it can be flavor of the week like that, or it can be more episodic and something you draw out and you plan. We're kind of like a theatrical show. You're going to come for a very large chunk of time, not an hour. And it's going to be a big story, but you're going to know that the story starts and ends when you visit, just like when you go to a movie theater. Except for Dune Part 1, thank you.
Just
pulled away from us.
Yeah. Oh, Dune. The behemoth.
And then I think also Spider-Verse pulled that too. So we're still waiting on Part 2s there. But we try not to leave you with Part 2s. We try to have them in. And I think that's maybe, as a dungeon master, that's where things change. If you're playing a flavor of the week game, then you just come up with something that's fun and it doesn't have a lot of stakes and circumstances. It could be something out of the Tales of the Yawning Portal, which is just bite size, and you go with it. Or maybe you come up with something on your own. A home game is going to more likely end in continuity, even if you are being random and flavor of the week that way. So that I think is where the home game really shines in its own way, in that it's more like a television show that's going to give you a longer arc and then some episodic spinoffs, a dance episode for no reason or whatever, or the episode where there's a murder mystery that they got to solve.
The required beach episode and shopping episode. You got to have the fillers.
Yeah. The beach episode. Fire Island Players, shout out. For the dungeon master that works with Adventure Away, it can be just an intense week or two of picking a setting, deciding what to start with that either is a smaller piece of source material you can expand out to 10 hours, or a larger piece of source material, like, say, Curse of Strahd, that you can right size down to 10 hours. Or third option is, of course, just create something that's of your own. Each one of us Dungeon Masters has created at least one, if not two or three original settings of our own that fit in. I myself have like because I live in Maryland on the East Coast in the Chesapeake Bay, we have a Mariner style on land, off land type of boat adventure. And that goes a couple of different ways that usually involves piracy and some sort of magic and some beasts of mythical proportions, which is a lot of fun.
Hell yeah. I feel like one, I know like my specific group of players and I would be 100% built for this because it's basically what we do on D&D weekend is they like half of them come down from Austin and then we play on now it's gotten to the point where we play a one shot Friday night. We play our Strixhaven game on Saturday, typically for somewhere between 8 to 10 plus hours. And then we on Sunday play most of the morning between like 4 to 6 hours in another game.
Yep.
And we're just like, hey, this is our
this is the weekend
D&D weekend, and we're just gonna shove as much of it down our fucking throats.
Yeah, I take Friday and I take the Friday and the Monday off of work and
to recover.
Yeah, and then we
that's like me at the buffet. Back. You know, like I'm not going out of there until I've tried the lo mein, the general so go all the way down the.
You got to pace yourself and work your way on through.
Yeah, it's an endurance game, that's for sure.
And you're giving me an idea that we have had this interest that the size of our games is both like an accessible amount of time for someone who's never played. So let's say you know your SO has never tried it, and they know that you're going off to the game shop or just going to the basement with your buddies and chips once a week, and it can be intimidating. You don't know where to start. There's a grasp of the rules to feel like you're not going to embarrass yourself to step forward and be assertive. And I like providing a game for those people because I like to loosen the table up and say, hey, listen, first and foremost, the rules are my concern to say if something you want to do works. But all you want to, I need to do is tell me what you're doing. You are in an invisible space. Say, I do this, or if you want to say something, just speak. And yeah, there'll be a mechanical point where if you start a duel, you're in an initiative and hit points will be involved in AC. And if you are trying to perform a distraction by juggling in front of the guards so that your friends can sneak around, you've got performance checks, you got stealth checks, but I'm going to call them. You don't have to obsess about like, this is something where video games and gaming culture as a whole has left a mark, is that it most of it's competitive and focused on winning and failure as a consequence. And so the victory becomes more tasteful and fun because there's always the chance you can fail. But it's you're failing as a unit. It's like Voltron. Like there are episodes where they don't win. There are lots where they do. And you're not there's very few where only one is the one that saves the day, except for the time where four of them get captured and then the plucky one that nobody sees coming sneaks in and saves the whole team. But like that, I mean, that happens in D&D. So
absolutely. Like, you're like, I was really counting on our bard being able to fucking talk their way out of this shit. And now we're not only have they rolled in at one, but we're now in deeper shit than we were originally.
Yeah.
We now have a whole different set of shit.
It's gone worse. We have new problems now and the old ones still. Yeah.
And you know, what's interesting for a Dungeon Master is like watching that happen can be a shock and then fun. Like you fail in such a spectacular way that the supposed tension of you being like at equal with the threat is completely swung one way. So now like DMs have to prepare for this. Like you don't want to just, oh, you get thrown in jail, you rot for 30 years, that's the end. You have to have somewhere to go. And so you might have to.
You gotta fucking pivot.
Pivot. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I have to do this a lot for like our Vampire the Masquerade game, which is like why I love that like my players will just hypothetically throw out random shit that they're thinking about doing or ask me questions or like how would this go? because I can get, especially because we're all pretty new to that system, I have the best knowledge of the lore and they're quite new to it. And so there's a lot of things where, like, we are still finding the edges. Oh, it's like, if you do this, the big vampire, you will take the sun nap that you don't wake up from. And but, like, finding where those edges where it's like, oh, okay, these are the things that might come into play, because then I can start mind mapping it out a little bit of how things might go and just the glorious ways it might go to hell in a handbasket, and then how I can have people sweep in and kind of pull them away from the brink before they get murked.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's very good.
I've had a few sessions in a row now with our Strixhaven game where, like, right at the fucking end is when y'all throw some shit my way. And then as we're, like, doing the post-session, like, they're talking about it and I'm, like, noodling on the stuff that y'all did that is, like, kind of setting us on a different course that I didn't factor in. I'm like, okay, once I start going down the spiral of, like, okay, how does that affect these things? And then y'all send me down a road that I rot in for, like, the next month until we play again. Because I'm like, okay, now there's, like, NPCs that we're never supposed to meet who are now meeting next session. And that's hard keel turned us in a whole different direction, but I love it. And it is, I love that element of the game that, like, for me, no failures are bad failures. They're always going to be moments that are good for the character's growth or set us down a whole different path. And oftentimes you'll find, like, if you just lean into it and you just say, fuck it, and, like, throw half the shit that you prepped out the window and you just go for it, you're going to find so much, like, the best stuff of your game is going to come out of those, like, random things that you could never have fucking planned for.
Yep.
And I tell you, there's something about that phenomenon of, like, the world box, like, in a video game, that there's a big sphere around you that's a mile away. And it's just got, like, the painted horizon and there might be a little tower there. And then you're like, I'm going to walk to that tower. And the video game's like, no, we didn't do that. Like,
there's, like, please don't. That was supposed to be aesthetic, honestly.
Yeah.
But at D&D, they're just like, nope, walk in there. And you've got the time between then and when you get there to know. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's where, like, having a toolkit as a dungeon master to improvise, even though you've prepared a module, can help you in so many ways. A good friend of mine gave me a Christmas gift that you might see out at Kickstarter game shops that are NPC decks. They have cards with pictures and names and backgrounds on them. You can have, like, You have to generate a whole town all of a sudden. Like, okay, well, that's Samson the blacksmith, and that's Ben. And then pretty much everybody starts becoming, like, Fred or Ted or Tom. Yeah. And you just look silly because, but then, you know, having a whole stack of these generated names, like, I've frantically pulled up fantasynamegenerator.com to get, like, five randos.
Names before. Are rough.
And then also, like, the idea that, like, there is this linear path that you tend to pick where, like, NPCs or major antagonists will be bound to locations, and that those locations have a scripted supposed timeline where you will come to this town, you will hear about the plight of the town. There is a wilderness in between the town and some place that oppresses them, and then you'll go there and face off with the big bad. They're not going to follow that road that you put in front of them. And so to understand that these characters, like the town guard, the captain of the guard, or the underling of the big bad that's actually a turncoat that can be plied to your side, they have legs. They can walk around. So if you, like, dilly-dally too long in one thing, time can progress. You live, and this is a choice as a dungeon master, but I always put this up front, is that you are living in a living world where time passes. It passes in television time, in that no matter what scene you're in, you're at least moving at the speed of real life. But you might zip forward, like just fast forward through a car trip or an interrogation or something. But in the end, like, if the party is indecisive and they are trying to get their marbles together, like, night might fall. Or the thing they were hunting in the forest may have run away. And now you have to... there are skills that characters have that are applied specifically to this need, like rangers and tracking. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just like treating it as this world that you can't really pause, you know, like it's like when you log into a server, you're like, you're here, the world is generating around you. And then in those situations where a major antagonist gets one-shotted, which happens, I've lost Strahd to some really like lucky circumstances
goofy shit.
Plenty of times. Yeah, I mean, I'm still
in an honorable fight. Yeah, Strahd will never die, but like just to some absolute tomfoolery every time. Yeah,
I still need to know if like dollar store radiant damage out of like a level one druid still like applies to his vulnerability to sunlight. It's bouncing off of a moon or coming to you through the sun, and now you're reflecting it out. But like, I feel like I need a Scott Crawford level verdict on that one because it always gets me.
I mean, according to physics. Yes.
That's my logic. You know, I was trying to base it on
some
reality.
Bomb fucking SPF. That man's skincare could be on point. And at that, you know, what you gonna do?
Yep. Oh, okay.
He got that,
I'm
he got that
12
step Korean skincare. You know, honestly, he does.
He'll pull out a jar. You're like, oh my God, that should have killed him. Nuh-huh. It's made out of dust yak fat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an ad for a Korean skincare company all of a sudden.
It completely blocks out your rays because my skin will never crack. I'm so sorry.
new canon for Strahd. I love that. He's an influencer for like Beauty of Joseon or someone, yes. like a sunscreen brand. Yeah. I love that
Absolutely.
For him.
100%. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think that was a major plot point in the first Blade movie, that Deacon Frost, which awesome name, awesome antagonist.
Yes.
Love him.
So good.
He takes the old guard of the Vampire Council out, spoilers, puts on his own SPF, and just lets them watch the sunrise. It's the most cold
Truly.
Thing that you could do as a fellow vampire, but
yeah,
perfect scene.
It's great.
Listen, that zinc, he's just slathering that shit on.
Yeah. It's like a middle-aged dad at a pool, just the whole nose. Be like, here we go.
Which will be like one point in their scalp where they've got a bald spot, and that's what gets them. Oh,
yeah, it just burns right through. Mm-hmm.
Hey, at that point, that's on you. You should have worn a hat.
Yep.
It should truly what it should be is Strahd coming out broad daylight, full zinc on, like my husband died of mysterious circumstances, floppy hat.
Wide hat. like a rash guard on. Mm-hmm. That like is printed on, you know, like those shirts that look like they're have like a tux printed on them. It's that.
Yeah.
But like
and
a
he's
rash
like, I'm
guard.
About to fuck y'all up in broad daylight.
And then he still beats your ass in like a rash guard and a floppy hat.
Looking mad goofy.
Yeah. That feels right.
I think that if you go to the animated Castlevania on Netflix, there is a scene that's very close to that. And I loved it very much. It works.
Yes.
Because then they're like,
yeah.
Oh, he's just walking around. We're dead. Mm-hmm. He's just walking around.
Like he's just here.
Where do I go? Yeah.
Cool. Cool.
God, I'm going to pick you.
I can talk about Castlevania all day too.
Oh my God.
Incredible show.
Alucard is my child. And when he showed up in that sequel, I was like, how dare you do that to me in the twilight hours when there will be no more content when you brought my son back, my sweet golden boy.
Honestly, like so when I watched Castlevania, and I don't know what this says about me, but like I got entranced by Carmilla mostly because I looked at her and I was like, in a world where I was unhealed and toxic,
yes,
that's exactly what I would be. If I didn't go to therapy and fix my shit, if I ever let the fucking training wheels off, that's exactly.
If you let the intrusive thoughts win, if I let the okay, I can never remember her name. Like the vampire
Lenore.
Lenore. I'm Lenore. Lenore is me unhealed. Just like walking out on a leash, which like good for her.
Love her. What an amazing villain. I loved her so much. Ugh. Her
I am
and,
100% Striga. Kimbo Trevor guy.
Yeah.
You know exactly where I was going. My soul character from that show is Sypha, especially because like I used to have a pixie cut and like my hair is like I should have cosplayed Sypha when my hair was short because my hair color is close to her. I'm pale. I'll have to cut my hair again at some point to do it. But I love all of the big three so much for so many reasons. It's like kind of like the big three of Phantom of the Opera for me, where it's like, I can't pick a favorite. I'm so sorry. They're all my children. Like I alternate between them where I'm like, Trevor is everything to me. And then it's Alucard and that's Sypha. And I'm just like, I flip.
It's also such a like bi panic show in general. Cause you're like, yeah, no, everyone is hot. And like, they could all just run a goddamn choo-choo train. And I have no No passes here.
They needed to do that for Alucard. I'm like, please. Please.
He, that poor baby. He needs his three-way that is not toxic and also with siblings. Like,
just put him in the trunk of your carriage or something. Like, get that man a leash. Get that man a teddy bear. Something. Help him. Send somebody help his way.
He probably would sub. He's so bored after hundreds of years. He's like, oh, yeah. Whatever you want to me.
Someone please just, you gotta mix raids. It up. I'm so that's tired.
That's like my canon in my Vampire the Masquerade game of, I'm like, everybody's Polly and everybody can be talked into most things. Because you live that long.
At some point, you don't give a fuck. Yeah.
Like, some people have partners that they're like, you know, they have like preferences and stuff, but like, it's pretty much free real estate out here.
I mean, if look you, at the Merovingian.
If you do it well enough.
Truth.
So he's got Monica Bellucci and he still can't keep it.
Yeah. Yeah. I based my character for Vampire the Masquerade off of a variety of things, but Striga is definitely like a big one in there for her. Because I play...
She's a Striga-Carmilla hybrid. Yes. And then your lover is named Carmilla and looks like Carmilla, but
with red hair
is different.
Mm-hmm. She's more calculating.
Yes.
I'm just on that pure rage.
Yeah. It's very fun for me how little, like, Oz character Revna knows about Carmilla and what Carmilla's doing.
Mariah and I have this, like, mutual partnership from player to DM because we alternate that for each other. And it's like, hi, here's my character. Also, here is all this shit that you are free to play with and make up your own lore and fuck me up with it.
Break it, it's fine. we mutually, me with my Strixhaven character and Ollie with her VTM character, like, we've given each other things and we're like, I can do what I want with this. Yeah? Like,
yeah, no.
Green card.
I bet.
Break it. Bet. It's fine. Is there a color greener than green? Right. Like, what? Right.
Blue.
Yeah. I don't know.
I gotta say,
I guess blue is the checking color. I don't know.
As a straight 6'2", over 200-pound man, there's something about just wanting uppies from a big lady.
Yeah.
Pick me up and hold me. Like I'm in.
A woman that could actually just kill you, but wouldn't.
A woman that could actually just kill you, but wouldn't. Yep.
I'm in. I'm down. Lady Dimitrescu.
Exactly.
Lady Dimitrescu.
Correct. Sometimes people make content and I'm like, y'all knew what you were doing.
Y'all knew, you knew the internet was not going to be able to handle this.
The people that made Resi 8, I was like, y'all were back. Like, y'all are into some shit. I'm like, if you saw them on the street and they're like, oh, I was a writer, a developer for Resi 8, I'd be like, I know some things about you now.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you were doing.
I just Resident Evil 2 with the tongue zombie. You're like, come on, people, like, really hide it a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know somebody's going to get their hands on that model and they're going to do ungodly things with it and put it out on the internet.
Just OnlyFans donations go.
Yeah. Just take my money at that point, honestly.
Oh. What were we? We were playing like Baldur's Gate the other day and there was there's so many things in Baldur's Gate that you're so easy to miss. I had never seen this before. And Ollie, just as we're running through, I almost said the Hinterlands because I've also been playing Inquisition a lot, but we're running through just like the forest around like the Blighted Village. And Ollie's like, oh, have you seen the skeleton with the bottle up his ass? And I'm like, I'm sorry, the what? Like, why did you say that? Like, that's a hallmark, a land stop that we all make. Like, there's a quest for him. Like, no, I've never seen that man in my life. And yeah, Ollie, do you want to explain what we
happened upon? There's a little skelly near the goblin camp. So, funny enough, this was also my first time seeing him, but I'd seen the content on TikTok. And it's a little skelly boy and he has a bottle up his ass, but not just like a normal bottle. It's one of the giant bottles that is bigger than his hips. And it's just placed, it's placed in his hip, like in his
bones,
in his pelvis. And then if you loot him, he has a grease scroll on him. So
there are ER stories where doctors.
And I'm not taking that grease scroll and I'm not taking that jug of water. I'm so sorry.
Effective, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is.
I think he died.
Fair. Yeah, he was.
Although, Although, to be fair, it looks like he didn't use the grease scroll. So.
Oh, maybe I see. I thought it was like grease in a bottle, but it's a scroll.
Unused. No. It's a scroll unused. Yes.
Too excited. Didn't think first.
Yeah. Too eager.
Yeah. I don't know.
Foreplay's important. Like, it's just one of those cautionary tale.
Yeah. We were just in one of those little areas like I'd never explored before. And I was like, I'm going to walk away and go over here now. This has changed me slightly. I was
very studios do be doing that shit though. Like if you're keen enough to actually do fucking everything, you'll find like notes across the map that are like people writing to each other,
and if you'll be learning all the books.
Tea. Yeah,
if you like, there's like a whole fantasy Kama Sutra in that game.
Oh, I mean, and I'm like, good for them. Maid, come on,
yeah,
like yes. A classic.
Yeah, you gotta throw it in there somewhere, and like, God bless the writers that get tasked with that job.
That's that would like, be hey, so, I like. Oh my God, that'd be so much fun.
And my job was to write a fantasy Kama Sutra article for one of these books that's going to be found in God knows where. Yeah.
I really enjoyed this one part of Deus Ex Human Revolution, where as a cyborg, Adam Jensen sneaks into this office, which is the upper floors of the police station where he's not allowed to be. And you start, as you do, like Fallout, go to every computer, find every email, look at every message. And, you know, you're looking for clues to solve a crime that you're not supposed to be on the case, Adam, but he's in there anyway. And then you start to realize that a lot of these emails are talking about how somebody around the office keeps going around and getting into other people's emails accounts. And why are they doing that? Such an invasion of privacy. Oh, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. You realize that
they're talking about me.
They're talking about you. You know, you're finding this little breadcrumb trail, and you're like, I'm going to figure out who's looking at the emails and the mystery solved.
Like, oh, it's me. It's me just, for sure.
Just looking in the mirror, like, ah, I am the drama.
Just the like when the Netflix screen goes black, and it's like, are you still watching? It's like you just look in the black computer screen. It's like, ah, it's me.
And you're like, you know damn well.
Dun dun.
God, yeah. No, I just appreciate, especially like in RPGs in general, the little things. And so because I'm such a loot whore, like I love finding all those random little notes and random little things that you start adding like pieces together. Or when you get like I've found so many things that have made me just like sad because I'll be like, oh, yeah. Two lovers that died next to each other and I'm looting their corpses.
You have a moment in silence and you're like, I'll take like, the short. No, this is crap.
I'll be taking his wedding rings and putting it on me and my hubby. Thank you.
Oh, this is nice. Where'd you get it?
Mm-hmm.
Not a crypt. Why would you say
that? Not that. Definitely a jeweler, a respectable jeweler.
Definitely fantasy sure. K jewelers and Baldur's Gate.
Yep. Yep.
That we haven't been to yet.
Just don't check there. The freshly dug graves. Just don't.
It's fine.
Oh my God.
Okay, going back to Adventure Away stuff, like it kind of it reminds me a little bit of like I've always wanted to do like the LARP events where you go to like I saw one forever ago that was like a YouTuber had covered it. Like they went to like New Orleans and they stayed at like the Le Pavillon and it was this whole like ghost story murderous thing, and it was just like a weekend or a week or whatever. Of like being immersed in that world. And it seems like similar to that is that like you don't have to be full acting the whole time. And so it is like it's that same good stimmy of you just go and you switch your brain over and become a fantasy person, but you don't actually have to pack like a trunk full of costumes like you're going on like an Old West train expedition, which would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's as much as you want to do. So like some people, they really did put in a kit for going to Ren Faire and stuff, and they don't have occasion to wear it. So they'll bring it out. Yeah. And we always pick like just one day, a moment, like early on in Saturday to go out to the grounds, find a couple of shots that don't have the highway in the background, and get a nice
do like a little framing photo of the castle. Shoot.
Yeah, we do photo shoots for everybody. And it's been a blast because, you know, like, it will be like a really nice treasured photo that you can share with your friends on Facebook or go post online. And, you know, it just like, it's a reminder to me that like my goal with this is to spread the love of gaming and fantasy. Mm-hmm. And Sundays, we don't play. We just have breakfast and sign out at 10 o'clock. So, you know, we have a little coffee and danishes and chat. And like the stories that you hear on Sundays are incredible. Like
the post breakdown.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like I like showing up when I haven't run the game and I haven't been involved. And then I just get the takeaway on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Like it's just like incredible, like love of this, like the story and where it went. And then like the moments that happened. And then this one time when someone jumped off a roof and then swung and then was the hero of the day. And then the final fight. And, you know, there's always like something that was funny that happened and something mm-hmm. that was epic. And I just, like these stories become the stories that they tell their friends and the stories that want them to tell more stories. And part of like spreading the love of gaming, I would love for someone to have not tried, show up and go, this is rad. I can see doing this. I'm going to go and buy the 3-book pack right now.
Seeing the click happen.
Mm-hmm. One of us. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's so
one cool. of us.
I also just generally love like the idea, because again, like I mentioned, like we've been talking about it with some of the other creators that we've mm-hmm. like genuinely become such good friends with at this point. And like we hop in on streams from time to time and we'll come in as guest players. And now we're like part of an online like actual play too. Shout out to Faye Dark Eclipse. But
shout out to Faye Dark Eclipse. Boss Jelly Bean one time.
But it's also just a level of like, it makes me so excited to get to see these people at cons or like go plan a vacation away with them, because like it's such a different energy for us whenever it's like physically at a table.
Oh my God.
Much less like a vacation that you've dedicated to it. Mm-hmm. Like I love the energy of playing with other people at a table, whether that's strangers, whether that's old time friends, new friends, whatever, because I love the moments of seeing not just the click happen for new players, but also like the first time you get to play with someone that you've played like online with and you've played physically with them, and seeing like the mesh of your characters at a table mm-hmm. and the way that the chemistry happens. I'm like, I am a sucker for that shit. That was my moment. When I first played like at a table with people that actually were about it and mm-hmm. had that energy of like hardcore role playing voices, the nines. And then I was like, oh, I didn't know it could be like this.
Yeah.
And then I got bit by the fucking mm-hmm. bug.
I love trying to do accents and voices. I coming from the improv thing, like it's always a challenge to suit the regional accent to the character. So you look at your character and do like high status, low status. Like they might be British, but are they going to be high status and refined? Just mm-hmm. a little bit straight edge, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get in your way, sir. And like try to really sculpt a character that mm-hmm. you know you might not be in full costume, and the miniature might be this big and painted or unpainted, but like to really give them something like they can pin in their imagination. Like, again, like I like it to feel cinematic. You know, I want you to feel like you're there and it's textured. And I like to put on some environmental music of like the background of a city or something, or like the whispering woods and, you know, trees rustling and stuff like that. Like, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, because it's especially like as a DM, you're creating an experience and catering literally an event. And so all the planning that goes into it and all the back end stuff that goes into it, and like it could be as little or as much as possible. Like you could go full production. Like I got all the 3D minis and I got like mm-hmm. light effects and sound effects and whatever. Or you've just got like a mat and some markers and do what you can with it. But you're still creating an experience for your players. And more often than not, I can't explain the way that I've sat at tables where we've had minimal to nothing on that table or been full theater of the minding it.
Yeah.
But just those little touches of like the music in the background and my DM like having accents and voices and things like that. I'm like, I feel like I watched a movie and like I did not perceive this table for the past 6 hours. Like,
yeah,
I'm fully in it.
That would be a great thing. There's a quote. It's one of my favorite quotes from The Last Samurai, and the general Katsumoto, I think, is dying. And he spent the whole movie talking about how it's like a discipline to look for the perfect cherry blossom. And it's a proverb, and it's something that you like try to seek out in life, but that he realizes in his deathbed, they're all perfect. There is no perfect cherry blossom. That piece of wisdom alone applies to so much. And like the different kinds of D&D games there are, from like the min-maxing crunchy dungeon type stories, or the theatrical stories, or the mystical mystery stories, or they're all the right way to play. You know, and it's about finding that table that speaks to what you love. And, you know, we try to provide a bit of a buffet, so you have a little choice, but also just something that is generally like digestible and like might give you that bug or just give you an idea to go home to your home campaign with.
Heck yeah. No, yeah. It's such an amazing experience. And like generally the TTRPG community as a whole, like I think once it bites you and you're like in it, it's so wild to me that they're like some of the most meaningful stories that I've ever had to or had the privilege of being like a part of are at tables where I just sat and played pretend for hours. And like,
yeah,
how do I explain the amount of like emotions that happened at that table to somebody that's like not even in it, you know?
Yeah, like it's so weird. Like on our D&D weekends where we play, like I'll wake up the day after, especially the day after we play Strixhaven, because it's usually late, and like there's been a lot of like there's always a lot of drama and stuff going on with that campaign in particular. But it's like stuff will happen, and I'm like, I didn't expect it to affect me the person so much. And then like I wake up the next morning and I'm still kind of in a weird emotional state about something that happened to like a make-believe person last night, and I'm like, that's so interesting. And like, because you have that if you're like, you know, reading a book or watching me, like you can get that level of like vicarious experience, but it's so different when you really are acting it out and you're immersing yourself in that world, and like it gets its hooks in you and it doesn't really let go. And that's really, really cool.
I think there's a generational opportunity too. And I've seen it firsthand where some of our customers, they have like a teenage or adult kid and they've come out, or, you know, the kid, you know, it's early 20s and then brings out their mom or dad. And they don't know what they're doing. They're just like, oh, well, like they thought they'd come along. And it's like a family thing. Maybe even not even play. We've had some people that want to come and they're like, well, mostly just here because the person I wants to come is coming, but I'm coming with them. But do I have to play? Does it really matter? Some of those folks have converted into like full, like we're bought in. And yeah, know, it's, there's something about storytelling, which I think like this skill, if a kid in King Arthur's court situation were to happen and one of us was to get thrust back in time, that this skill of telling stories, it might be the only thing on your resume anymore that doesn't have to do with computers.
Yeah.
But the storytelling is such an ancient steep tradition that these, like, you know, newcomers that might be, you know, just coming along because they're related to somebody, they take up the mantle and like they're in for that big moment. And then they realize, oh, I thought that this was ABC, but you didn't let me know that PDQ existed. It's like, okay, yeah, I can do this. And, you know, like I've mothers that come that have never played before are some of the fiercest and awesome characters that I've seen at the table. Cause they'll, you know, they might like sit in the background for a while, but like they'll decide something to do, and then it might be big and bold and crucial. And if you put the right breadcrumbs out where certain things tease what you ethically as a player feel that tugs at your heartstrings, then something takes you over. It's like watching a film where you see like, oh, like there's a kid and they're poor and they're panhandling, and then they come and steal something from you and you chase them into an alley and you find out like they're hiding there with their baby brother and they can't make ends meet. And then you're like, this is an outrage. How could this ever happen? Why is there not child protective services? There should be some place for this kid to eat and sleep. And you walk out and you find, oh, well, there's an oppressive lord that is taking too many taxes. And most people end up on the street. And some people end up in really dangerous jobs. And some unfortunate miners in the city went off every day to go and make money for the lord, but died in the mines. And now their kids are running around the street. Like these stories are so like to connect them to the heart in that way that just brings you to where you want to be. And then just like doing a cold read a little bit on someone sends you the character sheet ahead of time. We open up a Discord room for every one of the parties that comes to join us. So in the weeks prior, you can talk to the other gamers that will be arriving and the hospitality manager and your dungeon master. So we already have characters rolled. Don't have to sit and do that at the table when you show up. And people have gotten to know one another. And we can sort of like get a gist of what your character's into and know where that could help adjust things down the line. It's not always that we can do a like perfect buffet that touches every note, but like it is something that we take into consideration. If the vibe in the room is they want to perform and they definitely want to pull off a heist, it doesn't make sense to put them in a dungeon full of 40 orcs, you know?
Like, yeah.
Let's pivot a little bit and focus on what everybody's like here for.
I love that. Well, it does look like we are coming up on time, which flew by, my
truly,
God.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for coming on and sharing a bit about your company and your business and this amazing experience that people can go have. Give us a little sign off and where people can find you, as well as plugging any like cool future events that you guys are hosting that maybe people would want to go book for.
Thank you, Alejandra and Mariah. It's been a pleasure.
Hi.
And you can find us at adventureawaymd.com on the web. We also have a presence on Facebook and TikTok, where we do a couple silly videos every now and then. And you can email us at adventureawaymd@gmail.com with any questions that you have. All of our like rundown kind of what we've talked about on the call is on the website, so you can see photos of the different venues. You can see a couple of parties that have been before us, testimonials, and we book through PayPal. And we only need $100 deposit per person ahead of time to just reserve your room so that it doesn't double book up and you've got it. And you just pay the rest of the balance all at any point up to the day that you come to play with us on site. We do accept payments in person. And we've got the Avatar game coming up.
Hey.
Very excited for nice. June 14th. And that's at Celadon Manor. We have a fifth edition D&D game of unselected content yet for July 19th through 21st at Celadon. And also the Midsummer Nights Fey game, August 9th at Redwall Castle.
I love that.
That would be very cool. God. Yeah.
Well, thank you again so much for coming on, and thank y'all for coming to listen. And we will see you next time. Bye.
Hi.
Table Talk is a podcast brought to you by Mythos Media Productions, bringing you a new episode every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts. Find us on Instagram and TikTok at TableTalkRPG, or check us out at our website, mythosmediaproductions.godaddysites.com. All business inquiries can reach out to us via email at info@mythosmediaproductions.com.